The tea has arrived with its usual punctuality. It is one thing I admire about this place. I suppose my proclivity for routine is a carryover from my childhood at the light station. For so many years my life was measured in hours and minutes, broken into fragments of being on duty and off, marked by the time to light the mantle, to wind the clockworks, to check the fuel. It is beginning to feel like home here, after so many years. How many has it been? Perhaps 3 now. The days merge. The seasons fold into each other, and I have lost count. It was luck to find this place where I have been able to retain some of the independence I crave, yet still access the care that's needed. Besides, it was time to come back, to leave behind the small villa on the coast of Tuscany that was our refuge for more than half a century. We chose it to be near enough to the water to hear the gulls and crashing waves. Even so, I felt that the Ligurian sea never shared the fickle temperament of the lake, that it was only a substitute home. We were as happy as can be expected, the odd couple that we were, tucked away from the prying eyes of the world. And we've each left our mark, a legacy of sorts. Of course, mine is not nearly so celebrated. Only a handful of books, some still for sale in gift shops and art galleries around the world. I am sitting in Pa's chair, the Afghan Emily and I knitted draped over my knees. I have the window open, inviting the autumn breeze to roam about my room. I must be careful with the tea so that I don't scald myself. My fingers explore the tray, running across the small pot, tracing the spout, the handle. My other hand finds the cup. I count when I pour. I know the cup can hold a count of 5. They have given me packages of sugar, always 2, even though I use only part of 1. The spoon is not in its usual place, and I search to find it next to the milk. When I am finished, I lift the cup to my lips, blowing gently, more out of habit than necessity, and take a sip. Sighing, I allow Pa's chair to embrace me. I have taken to dreaming that I am young again, my hair the color of ravens, my eyes strong. In my dreams, I dance. I am back on the island of my youth, on the black volcanic beach of Porphyry, where the lake licks the shore and the wind sets the sedge waving. I stoop to gather handfuls of devil's paintbrush and sunny buttercups, adding them to the bouquet of nodding daisies already clutched in my hand. Emily is there too. Beautiful, silent Emily, who always had 1 foot in the world of dreams. We clasp hands, 2 parts of a whole, and laugh and dance and spin until we fall to the warm ground, breathless, to stare up at the clouds chasing across the summer sky. But lately, there has been a wolf wandering my dreams. I can see him gazing at us through the gaps between the trees. He slips in and out between the trunks of birch and fir, skirting the shore and watching us dance with his cold yellow eyes. Emily is not frightened by the wolf. She stares at him until he lies down at the edge of the beach, waiting. But he frightens me. I know why he is here. It is not yet time, but each day I can tell that he is creeping closer, and it takes him longer and longer to settle. It is one of the reasons I decided it was time to move back to the shores of Lake Superior. Here, in spite of the pain, in spite of the memories it holds, is as close to home, to Porphyry Island and the lighthouse, as I could get. Emily would have wanted that.